This is the 3 Bam Podcast.
You can do the intro if you want.
This is the 3 Bam Podcast.
You interrupted.
Oh, do it again. Sorry.
This is 3 beers and a mic.
Estamos haciendo el 3 Bam Podcast.
This is 3 Bam Podcast.
This is 3 Bam Podcast.
This is a 3 Bam Podcast.
This is the 3 Bam Podcast.
This is a 3 Bam Podcast.
This is 3 beers and a mic.
Welcome back, everybody, to the 3 beers and a mic podcast. Happy 2021. I guess we can say that now officially.
Hope so. It is 2021. Yeah.
No, I mean, I don't think we've recorded this year. So this is our first podcast for the new year. So welcome back, everyone. Hope your holidays were awesome. We've got no Adam today, unfortunately, but we do have Bernie and Dwayne. Say what's up, guys.
What's up, guys?
Hello. Thanks. So we are actually 3 beers and a mic today.
We're doubling down on the 3 beers.
Yeah. And we do have 3 beers. I told Dwayne earlier today I wasn't going to do that, but I said, nah, screw it. I'll get 3 of them. So we got some really cool topics this week. Please follow us on Facebook, 3 beers and a mic, Twitter, 3 beers and a mic, Instagram, 3 beers and a mic. And thank you so much for listening to us for the new year. And we topics this week are going to be some cool things. We all watched the first 2 episodes of WandaVision. We all have got caught up on the entire 3 seasons of Cobra Kai. Bernie plowed through it in like 4 days. So we're going to get his perspective, a little bit of Mortal Kombat news and our thoughts on the new Legends sort of mini series that's on Disney Plus as well. So a lot of cool topics this week, but we're always going to start off with what we're drinking. So Dwayne, what are you drinking?
Well, I have my 3 beers. I have a Real Ale Brewing Company's coffee porter, brewed with cat's coffee. I don't know what cat's coffee is, but it's good. I haven't had that one before. Just tried it. It's good.
Awesome.
I have a St. Arnold's Amber Ale.
Very good.
And then a Eighth Wonder Vietnamese coffee porter.
Oh, wow.
I doubled down on the coffee.
I love coffee tonight.
All right, man. That sounds good. Dwayne's feeling crazy. All right, Bernie, what do you got?
I have 2 beers, but 3 of them.
Okay.
Cheater.
I have that's all right. I have 2 Busch Lights. Trying to finish my little 24-pack of the 16-ounce Busch Lights. And then I got a Mick Ultra.
All right. Very good.
So nothing too exciting this week.
Which you have said numerous times is what you think is everyone's favorite light beer.
I think if you did a blind taste test, I think that would be the
one. We already did it.
Yeah.
We didn't have Ultra because everyone would pick it, Dwayne.
Yeah, we decided not to pick Ultra because Dwayne was convinced that one. I mean, Bernie was convinced that would win no matter what. So we didn't have that in the
That running. Makes no sense why you wouldn't put it in there.
Well, we didn't. I'm starting off light, a Miller Light. I was just drinking that downstairs before we started. Then I'm going to move up to an Axis IPA, which is a 7%er, and it's from the Real Ale Brewing Company, which I've been enjoying recently. And
two then real I got, ales.
Yeah, then I got Dwayne's favorite, the sour what pickle that? Beer. So I'm going to finish it off.
Like Superman.
Yeah.
Instead of kale ale.
All right, so let's get into this. We're going to skip the question portion because we got a lot of topics that we want to discuss. I wanted to start off with the little.
Come on, don't lie. We're not doing questions because we didn't get any.
Sure.
They can go back and see that we got 0.
Yeah, okay. We got 0 questions. That's fine. Dude, people have.
That's my fault. I kind of mixed it in with the Wanda's coming out today post. It may have been my fault.
Yeah.
No, that's okay.
It was towards the end of that post too, so.
People but don't read.
No.
But there is a lot of stuff we want to talk about, especially with Disney Plus. So I kind of wanted to get y'all's thoughts on the 2 little 6-minute episodes of the Legends series that Disney has released in anticipation of the WandaVision premiere this past Friday. So did any of you guys know what this was going to be before you actually started watching it?
I didn't even know it was coming out until they posted that it was coming out, like the day before.
Yeah, they announced it. They said it would just be like a mini recap of each character. So
when I read the mini recap, I thought they meant like they would go into some history of the characters, like comic like book.
Yeah, like a documentary of it. That would have been really cool.
Yeah, like the where they started in the comic books, how they became sort of popular, maybe some of the offshoot comics and teams they were a part of.
And I think there's a reason why they don't do that.
Blend it into the movies. Why not?
Because it would spoil
WandaVision.
Okay.
And what they're trying to do with it. It would spoil everything if they did that.
Okay, so if they went into some of the House of M stuff and talked about West Coast Avengers and like the entire history of the character, then some things they maybe have planned for the movie, the audience would already know. All right, that's fair. But it was more of just a 6-minute recap of Wanda Maximoff and then Vision's time in the Marvel universe of movies. So even though both characters are basically, you think of them as the same now that this TV show has come out, both of the documentaries I thought were different in tone. They showed enough different footage of each character where I felt like I was watching two different sort of mini recaps, which I thought was pretty cool. So what'd you think of them overall? Was it a good summary or did you think it was a waste of time?
I felt it was a little waste of time. I thought it was going to be more like a little more history in the background on the characters. I didn't know it was just going to be clips of all the movies that we're currently watching too. So like
Bernie,
I think it was a waste of time for people like us who are doing an MCU rewatch podcast called Three Beers and an MCU.
Sure.
I think
that's a good one.
Thanks.
Yeah.
I think someone like my wife, who I would like to watch WandaVision because I think she would like it, but hasn't watched any of the other stuff. She could catch up on the two characters and know enough to go into WandaVision within 10 minutes.
Okay.
So I think in those situations, I think it'd be perfect. You just get a quick synopsis of it and then, all right, now we're ready to watch the TV show. Now I don't have to watch all these movies.
Because that's kind of how I was going about it, is like, who is this marketed towards? You know, if it's not really the hardcore guy who's seen all the movies and watched them two or three times and knows everything that they just watched, like, oh, I've seen all these clips. Is it for the newbie person who would like to watch WandaVision but doesn't want to watch Civil War, Winter Soldier, you know, all the four Avengers movies, you know, and all?
Yes.
Okay, I understand.
50+ subscribers who see a new Marvel TV shows out, you know, they want to justify their subscription, so they want to watch it, but they haven't watched all the movies.
Okay, that makes sense. And yeah, I'm glad you plugged y'all's new podcast, because I've been listening to some of the episodes of the Three Beers in an MCU, title still pending, and I've really enjoyed it. You guys are doing a really good job. I like the breakdown summary of a movie over, you know, an hour and a half time frame. I kind of like going from scene to scene and talking about the things you liked, the things you thought were kind of weird, now going back and watching it like that scene didn't make sense, or how this wouldn't work in a real world scenario. Like, all that stuff is really cool. And seeing Skay give his thoughts on the first Iron Man movie, which I just assumed most people have seen by now, is really interesting. So you guys are doing a great job. And I'll be joining y'all for your Thor recording this Tuesday. So I'm very excited.
Monday.
You're right. Monday. Yes.
So, not that it matters to whoever's listening right now, because it won't be out for like 4 weeks. But.
That is correct. All right. So, you know, now that we kind of know what the Legends thing is about, it makes it more clear where they're going with this. We're going to try to introduce everyone to these characters before you jump into our spinoffs. And let's get into the first Disney Plus Marvel spinoff TV show. which I think we can now say is like a sitcom, WandaVision. So
real quick.
Yeah.
The Legends thing, was it only going to be those two characters? Or were the, because they
I
haven't
think they'll
really
add more to it. I think you'll see
as they go.
A Winter Soldier one, a Falcon one, whenever that comes out.
Yeah. You'll see a She-Hulk one, I bet. Now that one would be interesting because if they do a She-Hulk.
We haven't seen She-Hulk. I think they'll just do stuff for characters that we have footage
already
of.
Know.
So then when Moon Knight comes around, we're not going to get a Moon Knight Legends sort of history. Ah, dang it.
Why wouldn't
they do that for a character who really does need an introduction? Like,
because the show should be the introduction.
Okay.
Yeah, you don't want to learn the backstory of all these characters and be like, here's the show where we retell you all the backstories.
Yeah, that's fair. Okay, good point. All right, so WandaVision, we both have seen the episodes, and you know, right away from the trailers, you could tell that it was going to be sitcom based, but I wasn't sure if the show was going to be a 30-minute sitcom set in a particular timeline, and then maybe they would like splice into the future, or was it just going to be like watching a 1950s sitcom? And I think we've got our answer. So we'll go around and we'll discuss the episode sort of dynamics and see what we all thought of it, because I think we can all agree that this is something that was pretty different and pretty unique. And the reviews online have been like, man, I love it. What a cool concept, versus this is boring. What am I watching? Why do I need to see Laverne and Shirley? You know, so let's break it down and kind of go from the first episode and see what we thought. Who wants to go first?
I'll go first.
All right, go ahead.
I absolutely loved it. I think I did read a lot of stuff of people saying it was boring, and like, they don't understand where it's going. And I totally understand, like, they shouldn't have knowledge of where it's going. Like, you shouldn't expect your entire audience to be up with comics and figure out like little like hints that they drop throughout the episode. Like, you shouldn't expect your audience to do that. They should go along for that ride with you. But we know where it's going. We know the references that they talk about during the episode. So that gets us excited. But if you were just watching it after coming off like all these movies where you're just watching explosions for an hour and a half and you're like, what the hell is this? Totally understand why people think it's boring. Elizabeth Olsen is amazing in this. She's incredible.
Yep. I told you all a while back she was my favorite female Avenger, and that has not changed. So she's awesome. Go ahead.
She does everything perfectly as far as like 50s sitcom, like the mannerisms, the jokes, the looks.
Yeah, the look at the camera.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just like everything is like perfect. The way that they use, I know we said we were talking about episode one, but episode two, some things would be in color. I thought was really, really cool looking.
Well, they did it in episode one too with the blinking light.
Yeah.
On the toaster. Bit.
You know what that reminded me of when they really started bringing in those hints of color was a movie called Pleasantville. Did you guys ever watch that movie?
Yeah.
If you haven't seen it, it's really good. And I don't think people remember how awesome that movie was. And but I'm not going to spoil anything, but it's got Tobey Maguire in it and the girl who was in Legally, Reese Witherspoon. Great movie if you've never seen it. But they kind of do that where hints of color start appearing throughout the movie. And I thought of that immediately when I saw that in episode two.
Yeah, so before we really get deep down into it, I'll just say that I loved it. I expected it to be weird and different, and it was, and I thought it was better than what I thought it was going to be.
Awesome. So yeah, we'll just kind of give our general recaps, then we'll kind of break down the episode and maybe pick out some of the Easter eggs and explain it to some folks who maybe don't know what those Easter eggs mean. Dwayne, what'd you think?
I also really enjoyed it. I actually watched it twice because I watched it and then Chloe wanted to watch it, so I watched it again.
I'm going to watch him again, too. Okay.
And it was just as fun watching it the second time, too. But awesome. Yeah, like he said, I think everybody did an awesome job acting. They brought in the mom from the 70s show. She was perfect.
Yeah, they did. Kitty, she's back. She was great.
Yeah, I can see how, even if people didn't make it through the whole first episode, that they might be like, it's not that good. Because it does take a little time, even the first episode, about halfway through before it starts kicking into gear, you know?
And it kicks right off into the sitcom scenario. Yeah. It's black and white, 1950s.
With the intro and everything.
In the intro, in the kitchen. Like, that was it. So they just dove right in. Yeah.
Yeah, so I can see how people, if they didn't finish the first episode, would be a little bored with it, but once you watch that second episode, if you're not hooked, there's no way you'd watch it. I mean, because at the end of that second episode, there's more mystery than you started with, you know?
There's so many. I have a whole list of, like, Easter eggs and stuff throughout the episodes, and it's just insane that they pack these into 2 half-hour episodes. And a normal person's not going to pick up, like, 90% of them.
And the story could go any one of those Easter egg directions.
Yeah, there's a couple different ways it can go.
Absolutely. I also am in the same boat as you guys, so this is something we all completely agree on. I liked it the first 5 seconds when they had the opening scroll in a 1950s style sitcom. I was like, okay, I'm in. I get it. This is going to be awesome. And as the episode progressed, they even had some of those, like, clear 1950s sort of tropes where the husband goes to work and just has an abhorrent stack of papers on his desk where he's typing things that he doesn't even know what he's doing. The wife, of course, is the one who provides the meals when the husband comes home. You have, like, a boss.
The dinner party for your boss that you have to impress.
The dinner party for your boss you have to impress. And that was an actual thing where everyone dresses to the nines and you come and you get your 3-4-course meal. And the boss brings his wife, who tries to ease the tension because the dinner party, of course, is not going to go right. Mm-hmm. And then, so the first episode was classic 1950s, you know, what you think of.
You know, you saying that too, I love the joke that Vision has the whole time of, like, but what are we doing? Like, what is this for? Like,
what am I doing here? Yeah. And this, his buddy next to him at the desk was just repeating the name of the company. And that wasn't explaining what they were doing as far as tabulation. Like,
yeah, what is all this in and out for? What are we? What products do we do?
Do we buy or do we sell? That was awesome. And, like, I mean, the first episode when the kitchen shutters open and, like, all the food's floating around, I'm like, man, that's just the best. So first episode was great. Second one I liked even more, because you could tell, even though it was black and white, the 1960s vibe started coming through. And you could see that things were a little different. I'm assuming episode 2 was trying to portray, like, the 60s, right?
Yeah, well,
60s era of television.
The first episode is supposed to be more of I Love Lucy. And I think the second one, obviously, with the intro, was, like, Bewitched.
Bewitched, sure. Yeah. So immediately I could tell the tone was different. I loved the costume changes. I loved the way that even Elizabeth Olsen's speech was different. Like Bernie said, she was wonderful.
They slept in the two separate beds.
They slept in the two separate beds. That was awesome. I loved the talent show at the end. Even Vision's, like, magic box had an Easter egg on it. Like, it was awesome.
Ooh, I don't remember that one.
Yeah, so that design that is
Captain Marvel for Rabeau, right?
So the design on the front of the magic box, it looked like what Shuri was looking at when she was trying to fix Vision's fractured mind. That design was what she had on the computer screen when she was doing her Vision diagnosis. That's what I thought it was, because it was kind of like a weird hexagon shape. And I remember her clearly doing something with his mind, and that was the shape that was on her computer screen.
Was it a hexagon? I thought it was like a star thing. I don't know.
It kind of had, like, those bursts going out, but that center shape, that's what Shuri was using to help
fracture
his mind.
So So the lady that appears in the box is Monica Rambeau. That's the daughter Correct. Of, right?
She was the one who was in
Monica Captain or Maria?
Monica. Or Maria's the mom.
Yeah, she is the Captain Marvel kid, but as an adult.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was. That is correct.
So I think because she becomes a Captain Marvel, and I think her costume has that burst kind of on it too.
I could be wrong, but it's cool that we're interpreting those Easter eggs in different ways. I could totally be wrong, but that's what I saw when I saw the magic box. So, okay, we've all kind of given our consensus. We all really thought it was interesting and cool, and really liked it. So we can start like breaking down some of the ins and outs of the show.
By the way, it wasn't until the second viewing that I realized like the house had changed. Like,
yes.
First time watching it, I didn't realize like the living room had changed. And like I was like, wait, those stairs weren't there before.
Yes, the decorations and the complete orientation of the home changed, which was awesome.
And actually now talking about it when we were talking about Bewitched, it really makes more sense because I don't know if you remember, but Bewitched started off as a black and white show and then color TV came into play
mm-hmm.
at the end of that run of that show. So that's like the perfect show to like pick.
Very good. Yeah, it was great. I'm so happy that, you know, Marvel likes to take these type of chances, and whoever came up with this idea, what a great idea. And I hope people stick with it. I hope that that the different tone and the less sort of action-oriented style doesn't off-put some people. Because if
it'll
they
get pay it, off,
it'll pay off if you keep with it. And it's not even one of those shows where you know, oh, if you just get through the first six episodes, it really opens up. It's just different for some people, and I understand that there might be some negative.
I mean, we'll get into like Easter eggs and stuff, but once you start hearing these Easter eggs, I think people like start to get excited for next episodes because they hide a lot of stuff in plain sight in these episodes.
And that's the first thing that came to mind, like especially people, everybody loves these murder mystery shit. Like this whole show is just a big mystery, right? Like I think it would have a huge appeal to that type of audience. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I mean, just at the end of the first episode where you see that someone is watching this on some sort of terminal, and then you mm-hmm. see, you know, the sword emblem right there on the terminal, which we're going to get into as well. But just that is super interesting, at least to me, because you're watching this, you know, sort of 1950s sitcom, and then the camera kind of pans back, and there's some mystery guy watching it on a screen. That's really cool. But yeah, Bernie, what are some of the things you wrote down and we can discuss them?
Well, I want to talk about, there's two things I have. I have some notes from the show itself and then some that are like comic references. So depending on like which way you want to go first, I noticed that Vision doesn't have a lot of free choice in this, that you would think he would. Like he has to be told to save his boss. You know, he just, yeah. You know what I mean? So it's clear that she's controlling the reality and he's just a participant in it.
By the way, did anybody else feel like that guy choked for way too long did something?
I thought it was done on purpose. And of course it was done on purpose, but it got to the point where you started feeling uncomfortable. And that type of acting and dialogue starts to make the participant feel uneasy because the guy is clearly dying and you have Kitty from That 70s Show just laughing like a hyena.
But then, that's to my point that it's showing you that the characters around her don't have free choice or they'd run over and help them. Yeah. She's in control of the reality. She decides when someone helps them. So you're just sitting there uncomfortably. And I think that Long is showing like Vision or his wife would like to help him, but they don't get to help him. You know what I mean? Like she decides when, and then she says, help him. And then he goes and helps him and does the thing.
Yeah.
But I think someone who doesn't know that she's kind of in this reality, she's like making up this reality in her head as part of like House of M is what I assume they're going for.
Yeah. That's what I think they're going for.
Would think that like Vision was hesitant because he didn't want to give away that he's like an android and he can like, you know, pass through things.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I think a normal watcher would be like, oh yeah, he just doesn't want to like show his boss that he can pass through things, when really it's more showing that she's in control of this reality.
And then immediately after that, right, the boss kind of acted like nothing happened. It was like, well, it's been a good time, we got to go. Like
you get a you get the promotion. I think he gave him a promotion at the end. Yeah, and like the that whole scene was awesome, because just slowly, like Elizabeth, like Wanda's smile started to fade, and finally she just directed Vision, go help him. And he finally did, and that was awesome.
Could that be her realizing that something's, like, does she realize?
I think
that
it's both. I think she realized that what she's in, she controls. Like, she was kind of hesitating, like, why aren't you guys doing something to help?
Right.
And then it's like, oh, wait, yeah, I'm in control of this. Go help them. You know what I mean?
But was it her realization at that? Like, she didn't realize she was in control until that point. You know what I mean?
It's possible that
that's why she hesitated so long.
Maybe. It's possible that as this goes along, they both start to realize where they are. Maybe, you know, they've both gotten lost in this world of being together again. And they're
I think he's just dead. I think he's just a figment of her.
Especially since they show him with the jewel still in his head. Like,
okay, that's fair. Yeah, that's fair. Isn't Vision's like archive gonna be somewhere in Tony Stark's database? Like, I mean, he's the one who created this thing, so isn't there some sort of fragment of Vision still left on some server somewhere? Or is he just like that's what I figured, is that maybe she's trying to find a way to get back his subconscious, but she gets lost in the mix of reality versus fake and can't find a way out. I don't know. We'll see where they go. But I mean, it could just be that Vision is completely gone and she's just creating this world because she can't live without him.
That's what I'm assuming.
Okay. Go ahead, Bernie. What was the next thing you saw?
Let's talk about the commercials that they do.
Oh, they were great.
A lot of Easter eggs in these commercials. But first off, my theory is the two people in the commercials are her parents.
Sure. Mm. Yeah, that's a good theory.
The commercials seem to surround some sort of trauma in her life.
Yeah, Dwayne, you said you felt uncomfortable about the guy choking. How uncomfortable was it just watching bread become toasted? Like
From Stark
Industries. Yeah. Like when they hit that lever,
it was just beep, 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 beep.
And then finally it sprang up. I'm like, oh my God, creepy ass toast. So yeah, that could be her parents.
The watch, Strucker watch. Strucker's the guy that experimented on him. And
Baron Von Strucker. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Also, he created AIM in the comic books.
Yes. Very good. Absolutely.
The watch was stuck at 242, Rami. You mentioned this earlier. That's the beginning of the comic book arc that introduced the West Coast Avengers.
Oh, wow. I didn't even
Avengers 242.
That. I didn't catch that either.
Wow. Yeah. Okay.
243 is the episode that Vision becomes the leader of the Avengers and assigns Hawkeye to lead the West Coast Avengers.
Oh,
but it's set up the one before.
That's fantastic.
Vision gets hurt and then he like becomes better.
The fact that they put stuff in like that for the hardcore crowd is just awesome. That's great. I didn't even notice that. That's a great Easter egg.
Yeah, I mean, there's so much stuff like that.
Was there anything with the toaster that you guys noticed other than?
I just think it had to do with like the Sokovia and Tony Stark aspect of Age of Ultron, like him being the cause of all that shit.
Sure.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
And I do think that's her parents that are in the commercials. It all seems to be tied in with some sort of trauma in her life. And I think as we get more commercials, you'll kind of see that go on.
I like Jimmy how they just Woo, do one commercial though each show.
Sure. Yeah. Me too.
Jimmy Woo, the FBI agent from Ant-Man. Randall Park, I don't know if you guys know who Randall Park is, comedian. He was on, he played the dictator in that Seth Rogen movie.
Oh, The Interview?
The Interview, yeah. He played the Kim Jong-il or whatever. Kim Jong-un, whoever.
He did.
He's the FBI agent from Ant-Man. That's his voice on the radio that is asking who's doing this to you in episode 2.
Oh, wow. I didn't even realize that.
And he is confirmed on the list of cast for WandaVision.
That's awesome. Hmm. Oh, that's great.
So
that's great.
The sewer at night that beekeeper crawls out of.
Yeah. What was that? I didn't know what that was.
That sewer was not there in the scene where she picks up the helicopter and they walk over to that lady that's in charge of all the committees and stuff, their house. That sewer is not in the middle of the street whenever they walk over there.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So
who was the beekeeper? Because then she said, like, no, I don't want this, and then just, like, reverse time and went backwards, which I thought was awesome.
So I was talking to Aaron today, and I was telling him we were recording. He's like, oh, you're going to talk about all the Easter eggs? And I was like, yeah. He's like, especially the beekeeper one. I was like, yeah, I've been racking my brain what the hell that is. He's like, the AIM soldiers are called beekeepers because of the outfit they wear. I think this guy on his back is AIM.
Holy crap. They do look like beekeepers.
And that's the episode that had the Strucker watch on it, too.
Mm-hmm. Good grief. Dude, that's fantastic.
There's like a million ways this show can go. That's what I'm saying.
Wow.
Those are pretty much all I have for non.
I mean, we have sword and we have AIM.
Yeah. The sword was very easy to see. That imagery is everywhere.
Those are it for like non like deep comic book Easter eggs.
Awesome. Dude, that's great. That's all great stuff.
Do you guys have any Easter eggs that you saw or noticed that we might not have covered? Getting into the comic book aspect of it.
I wanted to say, though, that I forgot to say that during the talent show at the end of episode 2, I liked the fact that Wanda had to cover up all of the supernatural stuff that Vision was doing. Like every time he was drunk on the gum. Yeah. Every time he did something that just seemed highly not possible, she would immediately create a reality where the audience could say, oh, that's how he did it. Mirrors. And then someone was like, is that how mirrors work? Mm-hmm. Like, I thought that was awesome. So no, that took, you had more Easter eggs than I even mentioned. I did mention the imagery on the magic box, which again, I think we are either referencing it towards Captain Marvel or Black Panther. The sword, of course. The AIM references, the shield, the AIM references, the sword references, the Stark references, Baron Van Strucker references. That was all good.
Yeah. So she must have reversed it when she saw AIM guy because of the experimentation. She knew what that was. Basically.
Yeah, it's starting to become too real for her. And she's like, no, that's not what I signed up for. Go backwards. I want to live in my utopia world. Not when reality starts coming in. It gets too much.
Yep.
Yeah, that's awesome. Very cool. No, that was it as far as the Easter eggs are concerned. So what was it about the comic books that you wanted to bring into the fold?
So there's a character in the comics. Her name's Agatha. She's a witch that helps Scarlet Witch kind of hone her powers and learn to control them.
Okay.
Agnes is the neighbor in this show. So assuming she is Agatha.
Okay.
And she will be the one that kind of plays that role in the TV show.
That's a good pickup. I never would have gotten that.
Wanda is pregnant at the end of episode 2.
Yep.
While they're at that little country club party sandwich things, the blonde woman who's in charge says the devil's in the details. And Agnes leans in and says, that's not the only thing the devil's in. I think most people watching that would think that she's calling the blonde woman evil.
Right.
But Scarlet Witch can't be pregnant from Vision, obviously, because he's an android. So she uses her powers to make herself become pregnant in the comics. And in doing so, she accidentally takes a piece of Mephisto inside of her.
Whoa, I didn't know that.
Mephisto, for those who don't know, kind of looks like a devil character. He's like
He's basically the devil.
Yeah, in Marvel. So when she says that's not the only devil inside or whatever,
wow,
whatever I just said, I don't remember. And then you find out she's pregnant. I think they're like slapping you in the face with like Mephisto is coming.
Wow. I didn't even
think
that.
Kind of sets off the House of M story arc as well, because someone puts the pieces of Mephisto back together, causing her kids to die. Like they're not like real, but
yeah,
she thinks they were real. And then she just like loses her mind and just creates a whole different reality where mutants are the superior race and humans aren't.
No, she does away with mutants though.
Yeah, it's no more mutants.
There were still mutants, but there was not that many.
I thought House of M, she creates a world where their humans are the inferior race and there's
no, she says no more mutants.
She yells out no more mutants, which creates an alternate world where the amount of mutants that exist is severely depreciated.
I think it's both. I think it's first, it's the, I think what happens is the mutants, because I just watched a video to redo my knowledge of House of M. At first, she turns it where humans are the dominant race, and then they fix it. But by fixing it, they cut all the mutants down where there's only like a handful of them that have powers.
Oh.
And then okay, they decide to keep that reality instead of trying to fix that.
Okay. You know, I mean, I read it like a decade ago, so I don't remember the exact details.
That's how it ends, is she creates a reality where there's the mutants are the dominant race, and then they try to get her to fix that, and by fixing it, they kind of go too far the other way, and there's just like a small amount of mutants. But then they decide to keep that reality because it's like too risky to like try to do it again. You know what I mean?
Okay. I gotcha. Okay, cool.
It was a way for Marvel to cut down the amount of superheroes they had.
Sure.
It was also a way for Marvel to try to get people to forget that Peter Parker revealed his identity in Civil War.
That's a different story, man. With Mephisto.
Yeah, that's called One More Day. It's where Mephisto grants...
I thought that was part of House of M, too.
No, Mephisto grants Peter Parker's wish of going back in time and not revealing his identity.
But he had to give up either Mary Jane or his aunt.
I think that storyline coincides in the same time frame. I think that's just like a different piece of a different comic.
The reveal in Civil War when Peter Parker reveals his identity, I remember reading that and thinking, wow, that's awesome. And then immediately thinking, no, that's dumb. Like in the same like split second, I said, whoa, ugh. You know, that's going to create problems. And then the comics that came after that were just Peter Parker running from all of his enemies because everyone knew who he was. And it just started losing steam. I'm like, how long are you going to do this for? And then they made the One More Day scenario where Peter Parker was granted a wish by the devil.
It was actually a good storyline. I mean, it didn't end good, but
it wasn't horrible. But yeah, he had to give up Mary Jane. Mary Jane and him were never a thing. And it was either her or his aunt. And so
yeah, his aunt was gonna die, like she was dying or something. And he said, you can let her die, or I can save her and you won't have Mary Jane for
that. Is correct. Like that. Yeah. Yeah. But, so yeah. If they're going down the House of M road, I think that'd be awesome because that opens up a completely new world. And it's a really cool way to bring in the X-Men. So
Sword can do that too, because Beast, I think, was part of Sword.
I just don't know if they're going to use it to introduce mutants, because they had this in planned out way well before they bought Fox, unless they knew the Fox deal was in the workings.
Yeah, I'm sure they did.
Look, they're going to have to explain to an audience. Not really. They're going to have to find a way to introduce Wolverine again. Okay. And that's going to be really hard. So if you want to start off with this show and work towards a way to introduce all these characters again that we've seen in multiple movies, now there's a new Cyclops, a new Jean Grey, a new Wolverine, a new Beast, then okay, I'm all right with it. Because they're going to have to do it eventually, because all these characters are going to be recast.
Now, is a multiverse of madness another way of saying a house of M?
Sure. Yeah.
Because that's kind of what happens. Is it's a bunch of multiverses
right.
being created by her fractioning psyche.
And Scarlet Witch is in that movie.
Yep.
She's one of the main characters. So absolutely.
It's supposed to be more of a horror movie, and Bernie and I were talking, is that how they bring Mephisto in?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Horror aspect.
Yeah, because if it's a lot easier for an audience to accept a devil character when you have these different multiverses spinning out of control. Like, well, this isn't the universe you know. It's a tangent universe where this character exists, and it's an easier way to bring him into the fold. Yeah. That because like some of my friends who watch these movies casually, they did not like the time travel aspect of Endgame. They said, look, I mean, what they did was cool, but I don't want this to start being a thing where you can just go back in time and fix all your problems. Like some of my casual friends had that. They're like, I don't really like that. Hopefully that's a one-off shoot thing. And they're not just going to focus on time travel to fix all of your situations, which I didn't have a good argument. I'm like, yeah, okay, that's fair. I understand you're in this superhero world. You have to have some sort of fantasy about it. You know that Captain America doesn't exist in a real world scenario. But then once they start putting on power bracelets and floating through time and seeing Tony Stark's dead dad, some of them are like, kind of jumped the shark. But if you have a multiverse where different universe exists, that would be really cool. So we'll see.
Are we supposed to be getting Celestials and stuff soon?
Oh, we got Eternals.
I think that's they're going to bring that in with the Eternals.
Here's why I say that. The West Coast Avengers fight things called Dire Wraiths.
Okay.
Dire Wraiths, they look like devil dogs-ish. Kind of like big devil dog-ish things.
So like a nice dessert, is that?
That's
like not like ghost, think more Ghostbusters.
That might be a New England thing.
Yeah.
Devil dogs. That's Bernie might know what they are.
I think they're called devil cakes here. Are they like the tube looking chocolate cake rolls?
Yeah, with the cream in the middle.
Yeah, okay. The devil cakes.
Never heard
so
of those.
You're talking about the terror dogs that were in the first Ghostbusters.
Yeah. Think of those something more along that, only bigger and like redder.
Okay.
Well, those so in the early development of the Skrulls, like in their evolution process, they were taken by Celestials and experimented on and turned into these Dire Wraiths.
Hmm.
And that's why the West Coast Avengers were formed, was to help fight some of these Dire Wraiths and stuff on the West Coast. So they could be tying in Eternals as part of this as well.
Sure.
If they want to go that route. I doubt it. I doubt that. But, I mean, I think it's all going to tie in anyway.
I'm so impressed with this because in order to get rid of Iron Man and Captain America and to still have this base world in place with so many story arcs available to you and we don't know which direction they're going to go, it is awesome. Like you guys saw what Ben Affleck said about Kevin Feige, right? That yeah. He's the best producer in Hollywood.
You see thing? I know viewers, Dwayne, see this thing?
It's like, it does look like a terror dog.
It's like a big red devil dog thing.
Yeah. Like Ben Affleck just came out and said, Kevin Feige is the best producer in Hollywood. And to be able to take this universe and have 23 movies, all of them pretty much being awesome, and then to have a game plan in place for multiple years in the future with a side television project
that ties into the movies.
And then there's rumors that the Netflix characters like Charlie Cox have already shot scenes in Spider-Man 3. Come on, man. Come on. This is great stuff.
I think he'll be in She-Hulk.
I saw something that there was a reference to Jessica Jones in WandaVision 2.
I saw that too.
I'm all in.
The bad guy or something that moves fast? I don't know. I didn't watch Jessica Jones season two, so.
It was great. So that means you didn't watch season three either.
I think Matt Murdock will be in She-Hulk, but I did also read that he filmed stuff for Spider-Man 3.
That's just the best. I'm just so happy.
Dude, she's also a lawyer in Hell's Kitchen, isn't she? She-Hulk?
Yeah, she is.
Mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying. It makes sense to bring him in there as a lawyer. It doesn't necessarily mean Daredevil will show up.
But yeah.
That's fine. If they don't want to put him in costume, I'm okay with that.
And supposedly that's what Spider-Man is too, because Spider-Man needs a lawyer, obviously.
Yeah. He's going to need representation because his identity was revealed. So he's got to try to convince people that he's not Spider-Man. And that he didn't kill this guy.
That Spider-Man movie, from all the rumors, sounds like it's going to be fucking wild.
Dude.
Doc Ock, Electro. Oh, my God.
Potentially Andrew Garfield.
Sandman? I heard even Sandman has a little thing in it, yeah, too.
It's going to be awesome.
Also known as the bad guy from Georgia the Jungle.
Oh, my gosh.
The mechanic in Wings?
Yeah, he was the mechanic in Wings. Oh, my God, I remember that show. All right, so I think if I had to rate the first two episodes of WandaVision, I'd give 9 out of 10. Super intrigued, highly watchable. I hope everyone gives it a chance. Please stick with it if you think the first two episodes are boring. It's going to go in a really cool place. So, A, love it. So happy.
I'd give it a 9 as well.
Yeah.
I know we kind of went all over the place with, we probably picked 4 or 5 different storylines that they could do in it.
We did. Yeah.
All of which excite me equally.
Yeah.
Like, I am all great. In. There's so many. And even if these Easter eggs are just like little winks towards fans, like the watch being stuck at 242, I fucking love that shit. Sign me up.
Yeah.
Give me more of that. Even if it doesn't leave the West Coast Avengers. I'd rather have West Coast Avengers than Young Avengers, which her kids are a part of. But Disney Plus just screams like Young Avengers, and that makes me cringe so much. I don't want it.
Dude, I'd like the Young Avengers.
I know, but come, like, not this early in Disney Plus. Like, it just, I don't know why, but I feel like it like loses.
If but you see, were to Bernie,
do, like the teen Avengers, like you lose credibility immediately.
I mean, they've announced their shows till like 2023 or 24. So nowhere in that time.
Bringing in all these characters that we know are part of the Young Avengers, like Monica and Hawkeye's daughter, and
oh yeah,
Wanda's two kids. It's like, please don't do this.
But then what they'll do is they'll make Young Avengers, and then we'll watch it and we'll say, that's fantastic.
It's going to be good, but you're going to lose your audience because they're going to be like, why the hell are these like teenagers doing this shit?
No, that's fair.
I know, but like they dealt with some pretty serious storylines in Young Avengers in the comic books. So
they did. It's true.
I know, but just the idea of teens, you're going to lose people. They're going to be like, what the fuck is this? Like, we used to watch, like, it like had legitimacy. You had Robert Downey Jr. and all these movies and like,
but
all
there's also nothing to say they can't do West Coast Avengers and Young Avengers. Like,
well, you know who the best West Coast Avenger is, right?
Not Moon Knight.
Moon Knight.
Yeah. Yeah. What? Yeah. That. Oh my gosh.
There's anyway, so I don't many, even remember what we were talking about, but no.
Yeah, there's so many tangents. But I'm super excited to see where it goes. Dwayne,
yeah, I give it a 9 too.
9, good. There you go. I was just about to ask you, Dwayne.
Thanks. Your score.
So super excited. Yeah, super excited. Can't wait to see where they go. We all loved it. Give it a chance. It's great. One quick thing I want to put in the middle before we start talking about Cobra Kai. It was either Bernie or Dwayne who sent me a link of some first images of the new Mortal Kombat movie that's coming out. And remember, that is going
to
be.
Sent that to us.
No, I think Dwayne. Did you send it?
No, I sent it to the group.
Yeah, no, Dwayne sent it. Yeah. Real quick, that, remember everyone, that's going to be on HBO Max. So that's one of the show. That's one of the movies that will be streaming on HBO Max. My problem is, if it's anything of the quality of Wonder Woman 84, that means it's going to suck. So what I'm hoping is that HBO Max is just not putting out all of these movies that they've already watched and they have realized that they're not good enough to be in the theater. So that's what I'm hoping that we avoid, because the images I thought looked really cool.
Well, there's two things with that. Yeah, the images looked really cool.
They looked awesome.
They looked legit. The downside is, and I think we mentioned this on our the MCU podcast, it's a fucking video game movie. What was the last good video game movie you watched?
The first Mortal Kombat.
And even that, I mean, it was
That's
good.
A weird way to say Mortal Kombat Annihilation.
Oh my gosh. I watched that movie the other day, probably about 3 months ago. It is worse than I remember.
The only thing I remember for that movie is Sub-Zero like flies in. But he, like, you could tell he's like on a harness and he's like this real shitty, like, he like flies in like a superhero. And it's like the dumbest looking fucking thing you've ever seen. You're like,
it's really bad. And I mean, Johnny Cage dies in the first 20 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
It's not even the same actor from the first movie. Sonya's a different actor. Raiden's a different actor. Somehow Sub-Zero and Scorpion are alive again. Awful. But yes, I love the costumes of the images that I saw. They're very video game accurate.
Jax looked really cool.
Jax looked awesome. Kung Lao looked awesome. I'm really intrigued. But we all know that what was the most recent video game movie that came out that got crappy reviews? Monster something?
No, the World of Warcraft.
Monster World.
No, the one with Mila Jovovich. Monster Hunter. Terrible reviews.
I didn't know that was a video game.
Yeah, it's a super, super popular video game in Japan. Super popular.
By the way, I can answer your question. Last video game movie that was good? Sonic the Hedgehog.
Sure. Yeah. Okay. That's a great example. That one's better than Mortal Kombat.
Rarefied air.
Yeah. Sonic the Hedgehog was great, awesome in that movie. That was a very good video game movie. I will agree.
Still haven't seen it.
It's really great. Dude, Dwayne, watch it. The first Resident Evil was all right. But I mean, there's not the video game genre for movies has had a very awful track record. So, you know, we'll see where this movie goes. But the images look very promising.
I got it. Street Fighter.
Oh, my man.
The bad guy in that movie. What's the bad guy's name? Bison.
M. Bison.
That guy was like dying of cancer when he made that movie.
He was. Raul Julia, I think his name was. He said that he took on the role of M. Bison because his kids really liked the game. And at that time, he already knew he was sick. And so
not the best way to go out.
he did that. He did that role for his kids because he knew that he didn't have much time left. So
I would take death.
It was oh man, that's brutal. Yeah, but that movie came out like 26 years ago. That's how long ago Street Fighter came out. It was 1994.
Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Yeah. Let's pick the guy with the heavy accent to play the all-American Guile. Ridiculous. All right. So we'll get into I'm intrigued about Mortal Kombat. We'll see where it goes. We all get to watch it at home anyway. So
and we haven't seen the trailer or anything yet. So
no,
just images.
Yeah, no. Just pictures.
Yeah. So Bernie sent us a text that surprised me about a week and a half ago. And it just said, all right, I'm doing it. This better be worth my time. I'm jumping into Cobra Kai. Fuck it. So I don't know what made you change your mind. I was going to wait and ask you on the podcast. What clicked in your brain? You're just bored. There's nothing else
Severe
left.
Severe boredom and nothing to watch.
In the vast eternity of the internet, there was nothing that could take your attention other than watching a show.
Something's good enough from enough sources, I'll at least give it a shot.
Okay, because you
and said, typically, if I give it a shot, I have to finish at least one season of it, and it intrigued me enough to keep going after one season.
Because I mean, you swore you would never watch the show, even when Dwayne and I were telling you, Bernie, the show is really good. You're like, never, I will never watch this show.
Let's calm down on how good it was.
Okay, But you got you were intrigued enough to watch all three seasons in like a week.
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
They were quick. They were quick watches. Like I didn't have to dedicate, you know, 20 hours to this thing. I finished it in like 4 days.
All right. And plus, granted, the first two seasons I think are only 8 episodes each, and then the third, this last one, was 10.
You know what I think? You know what they should do is they should take all the scenes of flashbacks, from whenever he was a kid and doing his karate training and tournaments. They should splice those together and make a movie out of it.
I mean, Bernie, they're putting in those flashback scenes because they're trying to remind you of what, like, did you remember any of the stuff from Okinawa?
No.
Yeah. I mean, when was the last time you watched Karate Kid 2?
No, I don't even know if I've ever watched it.
Especially when that girl shows up at the end, and I'm like, okay, who are they referencing here? And then they cut to the scene of him saving the little girl in the tree. I was like, oh, that's who it is.
Yeah, she was the girl on like that pole who was ringing the bell, trying to warn all the villagers that the typhoon was coming. And then she
I don't care about. I don't care. I have no reverence to Karate Kid. Like, I don't give a shit.
Okay.
I'm not like a big Karate Kid like fan. So watching this, like I have no nostalgia towards it. Like I don't care. I don't care.
Okay. All right, but you got through so you got through seasons 1 and 2. We've talked about those pretty extensively on this show. We can just be real quick. Did you like season 1 or 2 better?
What season did he fall? Did
Miguel fall off the balcony?
Miguel fall off the balcony.
Season two. Yeah.
I think I like that one better.
Okay. Because season 1 was where they basically played it out, where the ending was the tournament.
Come on, Bernie. You didn't like when he put the dick on the billboard?
That was hilarious. That was
That's right up your alley. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
The idea that this guy won a tournament when he was like 12 and that somehow he uses that to like sell cars. I find that more pathetic than Johnny, who's like a loser.
I mean, you have to envision a world where this particular area of California is all about karate life. Okay. They have these tournaments.
They're not. They were. They're not. One guy is. No. One guy is.
No, I mean, but they say it numerous times throughout the three seasons. I don't know what this city's obsession with karate is all about.
Yeah, so,
but it's the same little small group of people, though.
But I mean, they're not the only two dojos in the land. That tournament had like 15, 16 different dojos. So
they had like 4.
No, there was not 4.
There was like 5 at most.
See that huge list of dojos on the wall? There was a lot of dojos.
No, there was a whole list of people, but they were all represented by, they had like 4 groups come out of people that like bowed at the beginning of that tournament.
And one of them only had one person.
Yeah.
That's true. Yeah, you're right.
No, but the idea that this guy won a karate tournament when he was like 12, and then he sells cars when he's like 50, still like basing everything he does in his life off of this tournament he won when he was 12 is so fucking pathetic that I cringe more for him than Johnny, who is just a loser who never did anything with his life. I'd rather be Johnny than that guy.
The dude who...
But Johnny also is stuck being a loser because of that tournament.
Yeah, that tournament. Yeah. So you can look at it the opposite way. That tournament made someone a success and another person a deadbeat. So it can go both ways.
But no,
so stupid.
But that's the running joke of the show. That's why, like, the city councilwoman is like, when they get her to like reestablish the tournament or whatever,
the All Valley tournament. Yeah.
She's like, I don't know what this place has with fucking karate, but okay, sure, have your tournament.
I was intrigued by season 1. Season 2, I was like, all right, the Miguel thing was interesting. First 5 minutes of season 3, completely lost. Like, nope, fuck this. Did the news report of the karate riots at the school. I was like, nope, I'm done. This is, you cross the line of stupid, and I can no longer be in this world with you.
Bernie, I told you, you have to, it's hard for you to go to a world where a karate riot can happen. But I just saw
it's not a riot. They were just five kids fighting.
I mean, a kid got almost paralyzed.
It would just be a school fight. It wouldn't be a karate riot.
No, man, there was
karate riot.
There was
like anarchy. Like they weren't joking around with the news report. It was supposed to be like a serious moment.
Like I said, I thought of it like it was imagery of like gun violence, right? Like these kids, instead of them bringing weapons to school, they are the weapon. They all use karate to beat each other up. So it's you have to take a leap into a world. Where
I did for two seasons. Karate, I took the leap, and then I dipped my toe in season three, and I was like, nope, no more. Fuck that. This is too stupid. It's too stupid.
I love season three. I thought it was great.
I thought it was the worst of the three seasons.
You didn't like the John Kreese Vietnam like flashback stuff?
No, I don't care. I don't know who that is.
Well, okay, so that's the problem. See, that's the problem. Dude, I like the fact that they explained the origin of John Kreese's obsession with snakes and his no mercy stuff and how all that even was a thing. So I thought that story was really well done.
It was the same story as Johnny, basically, wasn't it?
Johnny didn't go to Vietnam.
Other than Vietnam, but he
fight over
die.
And fight he over bullied. a death.
He was bullied by a man in authoritative position over him. It's the same fucking shit.
And his dad was stepdad was a dick.
Stepdad was an ass. Yeah.
It's the same thing. It didn't have the drama of the snake pits and the fighting on the bridge to the death, but it's essentially the same fucking motivation.
Plus, I like that Miguel was actually, you know, in the wheelchair for like six or seven episodes. So it wasn't just some people were saying it was a quick turnaround, but
don't get Bernie started on that.
For a 10 episode run, they actually showed a lot of
bring up the kick.
You mean at the last episode?
No, even in the training when he's like, no kicking. You it's too soon. And then like the next episode, he's kicking.
They do that from season one. They do that from season one. They're like, you're not ready for this. And literally 10 seconds later, he has him doing it.
Like, what? Plus, I liked that Hawk slowly, you know, went back to the good side. I thought that was really cool. That was one of your favorite characters, right, Bernie? You like that kid?
Yeah, till he was a bitch and he went back at the end.
I thought that was great. Well, it was, because they're recruiting people into Sensei Kreese's dojo who he does not like. And just slowly but surely, you know, he broke his best friend's arm and he didn't feel good about it. The whole,
That was cool.
He had like super remorse the entire season.
Pussy.
I love the fact that they got Allie back. Elizabeth Shue came back that was a surprise to me. I didn't read that anywhere. We were getting to the.
They hinted at that at the end of the second season.
They did, but the producers told you.
I knew she would be back from episode one when they first showed her. They're just dragging all these old people fucking back into the show.
No, but the producers.
What else are they doing? They're going to pay them to be on this.
The producers had said after the end of season two, we have not signed her. We're working on it.
Yeah. Knew she was coming
back. What
else
is she fucking doing? She's not doing shit. Do you want this really good paycheck to show up for a couple episodes?
No, I mean, she
I don't
was,
want to do that.
She was in The Boys.
Was she?
You do remember. Know that, right, Bernie?
Oh, was she the pregnant lady?
She's the one who was
the CEO?
Who Homelander was obsessed with.
Yeah, the CEO. Oh, no, I did not know that.
Yeah, that's her. No, she's doing stuff. It's Elizabeth Shue, man.
Yeah, but she got killed off of that show.
Yeah, she got killed. But she was in season two for a couple scenes where that guy would change into her form, right?
Yeah.
That's her. Yeah.
That's like a day shoot.
That's her.
He had time to do Cobra Kai at this point.
And so she was in an interview for The Boys season one, and one of the interviewers asked her, "Are you going to come back for Cobra Kai season three?" And she said, "Well, there's talks right now, but you know, we're going back and forth, and you know, we're hoping we can come to an agreement. She wasn't really committal. Whether or not she was playing coy about it, I thought it was a cool surprise. So I thought
she was going to be back to fix Miguel because she's a pediatric surgeon, they said.
How about the fact that they have awesome 80s music in this show and Wonder Woman had none? They got Journey. They got Depeche Mode. They got Phil Collins. They got awesome 80s hits. And you couldn't buy a song in Wonder Woman. So the music, the nostalgia, I love the Okinawa stuff. I thought that was really great. I'm really glad that Chosen wasn't still an ass and that he had redemption and he turned out to be a good person. And he even taught Daniel's son some new karate moves that were more offensive in nature instead of just defensive.
That Elizabeth Shue was Elizabeth also in, Shue. She was in Piranha 3D.
Not seen that.
And she was also in City of Angels. She played pregnant woman. There you go. Uncredited. She didn't even get credited for that.
Well, she was also in Back to the Future 2 and 3. So that's where I remembered her from.
Oh, she was in the best Back to the Future movie?
Yeah, 2.
3?
No. All right, so Bernie, did you finish season 3 of Cobra Kai?
Yes.
Okay.
I finished it before you did, I think.
You didn't think any of that season was redeeming? There was nothing you liked at all?
No, I just... No. The karate riots took me out, and then I was like, all right, I guess I can drug through this stupid fantasy world where karate's cool. And then they had that fight scene at the house at the end of the season. I was like, nope, I'm out again.
I thought that was great.
So stupid.
I thought that was great.
The start of that fight was stupid when he's like, oh, your cat's outside. And she's like, I don't have a cat. And the kid goes running out and gets thrown through the window.
That was awesome.
Nobody's going to throw the kid through the window, though.
Dude, kids are mean, man. I can see.
When was the last time you were in a fight and somebody got thrown through a window?
In fake karate world, maybe. I mean, a kid got kicked off a balcony, for God's sake. The only thing that I thought was a little bit not believable, if you almost paralyze somebody and you're a juvenile, how long do you go to juvie for? Like 6 months? Is that all you get?
Three half-hour episodes.
Yeah, I don't know how that works. Like, because that's a serious thing. You kicked a kid off of a balcony.
Oh, it is?
He was in a coma. And then clearly Robbie was in trouble and he was in juvenile hall. But how long do you go for? I don't know. You almost kill someone?
What? How come none of the other kids got anything happen to him?
Well, that one girl got kicked out of school and then Sam was suspended for a while. But yeah, Hawk and all the other Cobra Kai people went right back to school.
I guess sense.
I guess they made examples out of what they thought were the worst offenders. I don't know.
I would think Hawk would be one of them. He's beating the shit out of everybody.
One of my favorite scenes in the entire season was the last episode when Robbie decides to, you know, join John Kreese's dojo. So Johnny comes in and starts beating up Kreese and he's got him down on the mat and he's, you know, he's winning. And then his son gets mad and says, you know, don't beat up my sensei. And he starts trying to fight his dad. And in super realistic fashion, Johnny blocks his son's like 2 attempted kicks and just throws him into the lockers and knocks him out cold. That is 100% what would happen in a real life scenario. You take your 17-year-old teenager who's trying to fight your black belt father. He's going to casually block your moves and then just throw you into a locker. And then he realized that his strength was too much. He's like, oh, my God. And he went to go check on his kid. That was 1,000. If that would have turned into a father-son duel to the death or whatever, I would have been very upset. But no, the producer said, dude, this kid is no match for this guy. Let's just have him block a couple kicks and throw him into those lockers. And I like that scene a lot. So I thought at least Bernie would appreciate more realistic stuff like that, but apparently the karate riots just ruined.
Why is that realistic to you, though?
It is. That's exactly what a dad would
Your
do.
Your logic as to why that's realistic is so dumb.
It is. That's exactly what would happen to that kid if you tried to fight your black belt father. Two box
black belt
blockers. Yeah. Johnny Lawrence is a black belt for sure. So is Daniel.
No. They just have... Daniel's not a black belt. They don't have belts in Miyagi-Do.
Yeah.
I mean, Dwayne, he clearly wears a black belt when he wears his karate gi. It's black.
Hey,
I know.
Mr. Miyagi said, remember he said, what belt do you? He said, JCPenney, $9.99. So, they don't believe in belts.
Well, you got to go watch Karate Kid 3. So
I've seen it.
Not well enough. When he registers Daniel's son into the tournament, registers him in as a black belt. Exactly. So
doesn't mean he's a black belt. That's what he has.
In the tiers of karate, Miyagi recognizes him as the top.
Whatever. That's just what he needed to get him into the tournament and sees him in the first movie.
Still counts.
I don't remember a thing about Karate Kid 3.
Then if you're gonna stick with season 4, you better go watch it.
Yeah, because that guy's totally coming in.
Yeah.
What happens?
There's a theory that what's her name is that's her dad.
Oh, you mean the rebel girl who's in Cobra Kai with the spike knuckles? That she's Terry Silver's daughter.
Yeah, that's why she already knew karate.
I like it. Okay, so in Karate Kid 3, real quick, Bernie, John Kreese is homeless. He's broke. He wants to bring back his dojo, but he has no money. So he reaches out to an old Vietnam buddy whose life that he saved, who said, "I owe you my life. Anything you ever need." Who we saw.
Yeah, I was going to say, didn't we see that?
Yeah. "I owe you my life. Anything you ever need, I'll be there in a heartbeat." So he calls Terry Silver in Karate Kid 3 to get some money from him to get him back up and running. And Terry Silver does that. He does that favor because he owes him his life. And in the flashbacks, you see the guy that he saved who said that famous line. And then he makes a phone call at the end of season 3 saying, "Hey, you know, I need a favor," or whatever he said. So the rumor is that Terry
Silver, asking for two favors from this guy?
Two favors.
He saved his fucking life, man.
They've saved him from a deadly
snake. The deal was one favor.
Yeah. So which means that Mike Barnes.
What does this have to do with Daniel Sutt? What tournament are they fighting in?
So in Karate Kid 3, Daniel's son got poisoned by Terry Silver's methods. He left Mr. Miyagi's training and started training with this Terry Silver
guy. He didn't know
he
was associated with Kreese.
They showed a little bit of that too, didn't they?
Yeah, he started telling the story about how he used to be in Cobra Kai for a small time and was being infected by those teachings. And that was Karate Kid 3. Also in Karate Kid 3, they flashback.
Why are you using those words? That's so stupid.
Hey, well, dude, I like the show.
The venom infects you. Come on.
Poisoned.
What's
infected?
What's different about me accepting this universe than someone who accepts the universe of Game of Thrones? Why is it so unbelievable to go into that world and I can't go into a world where karate is a thing where riots are caused? What's the difference?
It's the corniness of it.
I mean, you're talking about, you
one
know,
one has a serious tone, so you understand that these dragons are serious.
I mean,
you remember the movie Your Highness? James Franco. Is it a Seth Rogen film? I don't know. But it's like a medieval, like, weed movie.
No, I do not remember.
Take
that
tone versus Game of Thrones, and then you can see your difference, why one world is more believable and the other one's just a corny, dumb joke.
All right. I've never seen that movie.
This is supposed to be kind of corny and nostalgic and a little bit of a joke. That's why they play up the whole.
You have to really love Karate Kid. You have to really love Karate Kid to like this show.
No, you don't. Chloe.
No, dude, my
Chloe hasn't seen any. I think she saw the first Karate Kid and she loves Cobra Kai.
My wife loves this show. Dude, she even, like, she She
tells you she loves it, so you shut the fuck up about it. You stop talking to her about it.
Dude.
You have the bonsai tree on your freaking gate. What are you talking about?
He was so happy when Johnny...
He just wants you to leave her alone, Robbie.
He was so happy when Johnny and Daniel became a team. Like, she was legit excited. I'm not even fucking kidding. Go ask her.
I'll ask her myself.
You should.
When you're not around.
She goes, Rami, if this season would have ended and they wouldn't have teamed up, I would have been really upset. Dude, when Miguel, I'll give you another example. When Miguel fell off that balcony, she let out a real life, no, like don't hurt this kid. You can believe whatever you want, man. I don't watch WandaVision with her. I watch that by myself. Okay. She doesn't watch all the shit I watch, but she likes this show. So we watch it together. I didn't show her Watchmen. She didn't watch that show.
You should. Watchmen's actually good. Kate watched Watchmen.
No, I didn't show her Watchmen. What I
have to say, Bernie, is if you were in a little bit into this, you should watch the new Saved by the Bell.
No. Oh.
Nope.
Very good.
Nope. It's horrible.
Screech has cancer. Did you see that?
Yeah. He doesn't just have cancer. He has stage 4. So that's going to be rough.
Rami, I have no idea how you like that show.
The new Saved by the Bell?
Yeah.
Didn't he like stab someone?
Yeah, he went to jail.
Yeah, he went to jail. Yeah, it was like a serious charge. Dwayne, it just because it brings back good memories for me. I like the cheesiness of that show. I like seeing scenes from. Did you watch the whole season?
I don't know. Chloe's been watching it, and I've been watching it with her.
Does she like it?
She does.
Okay. Yeah, I mean.
She also likes a lot of stupid stuff.
All right, so
what do you think of Trixie?
It's fine.
You know that's a guy, right?
Yes, I know that.
Because he was on when he was a he on Jesse when she used to watch that.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
I don't know what you guys are talking about.
You don't want to.
We'll give our review for season 3, and then I'll let Bernie give his review for the all 3 seasons. You don't have to do each one individually. Just, you know, give me a number for what your experience was watching the show. I give season 3 8.5 out of 10. It out of all 3 seasons, it was my least favorite, but I still really liked it. So
you just gave me shit for saying it was the worst of the 3.
No, you said that you were out, that you it took you out of the entire experience.
I said it was the worst of the 3, and you gave me shit for it.
8.5 out of 10. The other 2 seasons were better, and but I still really liked it. I can't wait to see where they go next. And there you go, Dwayne.
I'll go 8 probably.
Okay.
I thought the where they were at the end of the season, they were going to be like halfway through the season. Like I knew Johnny and Daniel were going to team up at some point. I mean, it was pretty obvious.
Okay. Fair enough. Bernie, you can just give an overall score. What was your journey like? Do you regret your decisions?
No, it's fine. It's a fine watch. You won't devote a lot of your life to it. It's entertaining enough to continue. 6.5.
All right. I'll take it. I mean, that's better than when it first started and you just refused the show's existence. So,
but I just don't care about these 80 movies like you do. I just don't care.
Well, we grew up in different
Gremlins movie and I'm in, or a Gremlins TV show and I'm in. Especially if it's more Gremlins 2 than Gremlins 1, I'm all in.
Oh, my God.
Gremlins 2 sucks.
Fuck you.
Dude, that movie is not good. Do you like Gremlins 2?
I love that movie.
Woof, that movie's awful. I didn't know there were people that like Gremlins 2.
I just don't have this nostalgia for stuff. Like, I don't know.
So I'll give you an example of another 80s movie that I'm looking forward to. The new Ghostbusters reboot. When you hear stuff like that, you're just completely tuned out. You're like, no, I don't want to watch that.
No, I had just about every Ghostbuster toy growing up. I was obsessed with Ghostbusters. That movie's going to be shit. Yeah. And it goes back to delegitimizing it by putting fucking teens in it. You ruin it when you put teens in it. I'm sorry you do. It's going to be ruined anyway. Rebooting it to begin with, it was going to be ruined anyway.
Especially at this point, it's not their kids, it's their grandkids.
Yeah, that's like, true.
It's just stupid. Just let things be. Just let things be. People enjoyed stuff in the 80s. Doesn't mean you need to bring it back.
All right, fair enough. All right, I think that was our last topic. Stay tuned for some more Three Beers and an MCU podcast that they'll be posting kind of periodically. We're trying to get ahead of the game on these recordings so that they can have episodes kind of in the bank. And I'll be appearing every now and then on a few episodes in and out. But you guys have been doing a great job with the guests. I think every show, every episode you record from here on out has a guest to it, right?
Yes.
Yep. Yeah, that's fantastic.
Only the first one didn't, so.
That's awesome. I'm looking forward to the Thor 2 one. That one's going to be great. I can't wait for that one. And I look forward to
the top three here. It sounds like a sign off. We need a top three at least.
Okay.
I did it last time, so.
Not it.
I mean, I have all of these McDonald's mascots on my table. You want to do top three fast food mascots?
Yeah.
Is that a good one?
Yeah, I like it.
Okay. Have we done that one, Dwayne?
No.
Okay.
Do they all have mascots?
Yeah, they do.
You can do top three McDonald's one. There's plenty of
yeah.
The world's big enough where you can pick three of them.
I think that you could just do McDonald's alone, but I think top three fast food mascots. You can think of like pizza places, burger places, taco places. There's a lot of different. You can even pick the Chick-fil-A cows. I don't care. Let's do top three fast food mascots. That would be good.
I'm sure Bernie already has his. He thinks about this all the time, I'm sure.
I can go. I think I can do first.
I could do three of them.
Okay, go ahead.
Three, I'm going to go with the Taco Bell dog.
Sure. That's a good one.
Number two, I'm going to go with the Quiznos, those little weird things that they had for those people that were like, Quiznos!
That's great.
I don't even know what that is.
Those commercials?
No.
They look like some like rancid like Furby things and they would sing songs.
That's great.
That'd be my two. And then one, I like Mayor McCheese. So I'm going to go Mayor McCheese for number one.
Dude, Mayor McCheese is the jam. I have his pop right here. Boom. Mayor McCheese. For me, number three would be Colonel Sanders. Just because I used to work at KFC and I love their food. I think KFC has really good food. I still eat it to this day. Number two is the Noid from Domino's. And
what's the Noid?
Avoid the Noid.
The Noid.
It kind of looks like a rabbit a little bit. It was like a guy in a red costume.
Yeah, he did kind of look like a rabbit. Yeah. And number one is the same as Bernie, since we both have a favorite superhero, Moon Knight. Mayor McCheese is my favorite McDonald's mascot. I also liked Officer Mac. I have him too, just because, like Dwayne, you remember when you used to go to McDonald's? This was one on the playground.
Yeah,
like you could walk inside of his burger head, and they had like jail bars and stuff. That thing was dangerous.
It wasn't dangerous.
Dude, it was all metal, and going up that ladder to get to his burger head was so tight, dude. It was so small. I remember it being really compact. Okay. Dude, Bernie, you really don't remember the Noid?
Mm-mm.
Hold on. Let me put an image up here.
I'm not 50 either.
It was a good video game, too.
It was a good video game.
The Burger King King's pretty good, too. I like him a lot.
This guy.
Well, he is on my list.
That guy. That's the Noid.
No.
Wow. Okay, I'm surprised you don't know who that is. All right, Dwayne, you got three favorite fast food mascots?
Yeah, Bernie just mentioned one. Number three is the King.
Sure.
Especially now, the commercials are pretty funny with them. Number two, I'd probably go with Annoyed too.
Cool.
But my number one is the Hamburglar.
Yeah. Dun dun dun.
No Fry Guys.
Nobody likes Grimace.
He's fucking Barney.
He's fucking Barney?
Yeah.
No, Grimace is better than Barney.
No, he's fucking Barney.
Oh.
Is that some sort of fanfic that you write, Dwayne, on the side?
Yeah, totally. Go to Grimace, my what's that page? OnlyFan? You can get it there.
What's that page? Like, you don't know.
I don't.
What's that called?
I didn't know what the hell that was until you said it.
Chatterbait or something? I don't know what that is.
I don't know what that is either.
Oh my gosh. Alright, well, good episode, guys. Cheers, everybody.
Cheers.
Nice seeing y'all, and see y'all in a few weeks.
Peace.